Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, the ascended one, that gives us an ascension anointing. The ascended one that lifts us up with him. Because as surely as we died with him and as surely as we were buried with him, we are to be lifted up and ascended with him. So we thank you for the grace of ascension today. We thank you for the grace of ascension. For pulling us up from where we are to where we ought to be. Where you preordained that we should be. From the foundation of the world, you called us to a certain place, to be a certain person, a certain people. And we thank you for the grace and the ascension, power, and authority that brings us up out of this natural realm, out of the chaos that's going on, out of the mayhem, out of sickness and disease, out of protests and rioting, out of everything that you could name that's not of God. He's pulling us out of the darkness into light. He's pulling us up out of the darkness of this world into the ascension of the light of heaven. Seated with him in heavenly places. Seated with him. Seated with him. No longer earth dwellers. Oh God, we thank you this morning. We bless your holy name. We are here, but we're there. We're here, but we're there. Oh, my Shandorosiki, I see. The world says, oh no, I see you here. But they can't see me there. It takes a faith eye. It takes a faith knowing. It takes a faith understanding. To know that we're here, but we're there. Walking around the throne. Into being in worship and praise with the angels. Listening to the 24 elders. Talking to Enoch. Hey, glory. Thank you. He explained in the walk, giving us courage to go on. We thank you today for the reality. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. For this season in our lives, we bless your holy name. It's a whole new season. It's a different season. Some would say it's a trying season, but I say it's a triumphant season. Because from above, hey, it looks so different from above, y'all. It looks different from above. Some would say trying, but PWM, we say triumphant. We triumphant people because we are ascended with him. We carry his virtue, his grace, and his anointing. As he is, so are we in this world. We thank him and we bless his holy name. Whew. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, glory. Divine love. It's more. Divine life, D. It's more than a language. We can talk the talk, Mike. But can we walk the walk? Oh, we've got all the sayings. Oh, we know how to say it. Blessed and highly favored. We've got the language. He's good all the time. We have the language. We have the language. But do we have the life of it? Do we have the life of it? Do we have the thing that pulsates in us, that verberates in us, Jesus, Jesus. We can say I walk in victory. But when the wind starts blowing and the storms come and hell is on your heel, where's God? See, divine life is God on the inside of you, who knows before you knew, who got there before you did, who understood before your little peon mind could even begin to think. He knew. So there's a divineness that brings us into the ascension of who God is, because it takes faith to understand God, because God is faith. He is the author and the beginning of our faith. He started, he is in the middle of it, and he is it. So if we don't, if we're going to say we have faith, we have to say we have God. Oh, Jesus, Holy Spirit, always do this to me. The faith movement was a movement with language. Let's admit it. It was a movement of language. It had no divine life in it. It had no ascension glory in it. It had no power and authority in it. I could say it 925,000 times, and it didn't make it happen. I could walk around a house, you know, go name it and claim it. We had the language, but we had no divineness, no life of the language. See, the faith movement messed us up because it gave us a whole lot of language. We became the word church. You lying wonder. And I know I'm going to get some comments on that one. How you become the word without divine life? The life of God in Christ Jesus. The life of God in Christ Jesus, sure, is life. So if you don't have that, you don't have the word. You have some information. You got some information from somewhere. You read a few books. You found out what somebody else had gone through and what they had done, and you tried to imitate it. Jesus don't duplicate. Y'all show me in the Bible where he duplicated anything. He don't duplicate. He keep doing it over again, and it's always new. It's always new, Pastor. It's always new. He don't duplicate. He don't duplicate. Sure, what he does for you today, he's not going to do it tomorrow. It's going to be a better thing. Because it's always new and it's always better. See, we want to settle for the old imitation. Because he told me to do it like that yesterday. And so we wake up in the morning and he's like, I moved on. And we sitting there trying to make it happen again. And he's gone. He's gone. He's ever moving God. You know, it baffles my mind. Because I don't have much, Mike. They say we use 10%. And I'll be wondering sometime, well, Lord, how much, what percent? Pastor calls some people right brain people, you know, because they got it going on. Mike, I'll be sitting in the corner going, okay, is this 2%? A glow, is this 1% skim milk I'm drinking that I am? Is this 1% and then skim on top of that? Come on, y'all. When it comes to spiritual things, we might as well admit skim milk. We might as well admit it. How much of this do we really have? How much life of it? Oh, we got the language. We got it down pat. Hello, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. We've got it. All you got to do is ask God. People in my building see me now. They're just so disgusted with me. You know why they're disgusted? Because I don't have any faith. Because when they see me in my little Rolaid and my little oxygen, they done told me 20 times, all you got to do is believe. Mm-hmm. They got the language. They have the language. And I'm thinking, in the Bible, when healing came, Jesus didn't tell that blind Bartimaeus, all you need to do is believe. He told him, receive your sight. Which means that if you're looking at me in my affliction and you've got the divine life, all you've got to do is say to me, be healed, Jerry. It's not on me. It's not on me, y'all. Oh, yeah, I'm believing. And I tell God, if don't nobody come, Lord, you help me to do it. But don't be telling me I don't have any faith. All you've got to do is believe. Why don't you cast this thing off of me? You and your faith. You and all of your authority and all of your power. Why don't you cast this thing off of me? Show me. Show me. Show me. I want to be healed. I don't have any faith, but you've got the faith. So come on now. Let's do this thing. Yeah, show me what you got. Come on. We got the language. We have the language, y'all. We know how to say it. But where's the divine life? When does heaven move when you say it? Healing comes from above, which means you got to be ascended to come and tell me, be thou made whole. See, Jesus, the healer, came from above. So when he walked the earth, everything that was already his from heaven, he had access to it. So it was all right for him, you know, the woman to touch the hem on his garment. See, everything in him permeated heaven. Even the tassel on his robe. Can you believe that? The tassel on his robe permeated heaven. Full of heaven. Just the robe. See, that's why Pastor tell us, stay close. Stay close. Because there's some permeating through me. There's some flowing through me. I was out there on the floor last night. And I went up. Stay close. So you might just get a little bit. Stay close. Come on now. That woman said, if I can get close enough, all I need to do is just get close enough. That's what she said. I just get close enough. Just let me get near. Just come on. He don't have to lay hands on me. Just let me get close. Because I know everything he is heaven. See, we got to have. See, that's why, Holy Ghost, I love you. That's why John had to be on the Isle of Patmos. Because he hadn't experienced this yet, what I'm talking about. He got this on the Isle of Patmos. The revelation and understanding of who the Christ really is. Because he saw him now as the ascended one. He saw him in all of his glory. Oh, God, do we want to see his glory, Chris? Chris, I want to see his glory. I want to see his glory be. Moses says, show me your glory. And we, in our limited understanding, can mess up the word of God. Oh, we can mess it up. I was told, okay, Moses said, show me your glory. And then he said, I ain't going to show you my face. No, show me your face. And he said, I can't show you my face because nobody can look on my face and live. No man can look on my face and live. So I'm asking the Lord one time, me and my stupid self, Mike, in testimony. You know he's had a testimony service, Mike. See, some of y'all don't know that. I can talk with Mike because me and Mike come from the same, you know. Yeah, testimony service. I thank and praise the Lord for being here today. Thank you, praise God. You know, I thank and praise the Lord that he going to show me his face. So afterwards, the preacher gets up and say, you can't see his face, Sister Dickens. Because the word says, if you see his face, you're going to die. You ready to die? We just took it and messed it all up. Took my desire. You see what I mean? Christendom will mess you up, y'all. I don't care what nobody say. I'm 72 almost, and I've been in long enough to know what it'll do to you. It'll mess you up. So now, I don't want to see his face. Okay. If you see my face, you're not going to live as a natural man. You're going to live as an ascended man. You're going to be a resurrected man. Come on, get this whole thing right. Come on now. Oh, you can look at my face. He told David, seek my face. He told David, seek my face. Come on. Come on, y'all. See, we get a little bit of language and don't even get the right definition or to be able to define what the language really means. And then we throw it out to people. And Tony, hear me and my gullible self. Come on. Come on. I wanted to go to the third heaven. Oh, that was for that day. That was not for this day. Come on, y'all. When he told me to be seated with him. How am I going to be seated with him if he's in heaven if I don't go to heaven? Oh, no, because see, Paul said he couldn't tell you what was up. That don't mean I can't go. They can take the Bible and make it their language. See, Mike, I get up and ask right in front of the people. Chris, I want to go to third heaven. You know, I get rebuked. Who do you think you are? D, and none of this, as Pastor said, was what I thought the Lord gave me. Holy Spirit is something, y'all. Can you give me heaven on earth? I'm so excited, Miss Joyce, that God calls us. Dee always, I love, because Dee can put the whole name up there. Listen at this. Now, we're talking about an ascended life now, divine living, right? When we are really emptied, he delights to fill us with himself. Isn't that what I just said? He delights to fill me with himself, and whatever he is, I become. Come on, y'all. Come on. Let's go higher. If he's going to fill me with himself, that's what I become. I am becoming a whole woman. I am becoming a woman that's free from sickness and diseases. I'm becoming a woman whose mind is being renewed every day. I'm becoming a woman that walks in authority and power and love and joy and peace because he delights to fill me. He's not worried about where I missed it. That's not his delight to tell me about how wrong I am. He don't care about how wrong I am. That's not his charge. I heard somebody say they went to heaven and they were looking at Abraham's record, and they were surprised because none of Abraham's mistakes, his lying about his wife being his sister, doing stuff that, you know what I'm saying? Well, none of that in the book. That left me, Pastor. Sin conscious. Come on. He don't put it in the book, y'all. It's not in the book. Not after he fills himself. Fills us with himself and the Holy Spirit. It's not in the book anymore. It is very precious to be conscious of nothing good. Where? I'm a heavy woman when I'm in myself. I weigh a whole lot more than I want to weigh. I can lose 100 pounds and I'm still heavy. Because I'm still full of myself. I'm full of 72 years. I'm full of 72 years, y'all. Full of myself. See, I got to get to the place where there's nothing good. I don't weigh anything. Zip, zero. Sometimes pastor be bringing these words, I feel like I can fly. Why? Because I'm losing myself. I'm becoming conscious of ain't nothing in me. Come on. I'll be sitting over there saying, ooh, I feel I can fly. I'll see you in the by and by. It is very precious to be conscious. I said precious, y'all. See, the world tell you, don't, no. Think good of yourself. Think good of yourself. Don't let nobody degrade you. Don't let nobody talk about you. Don't let nobody put you down. P- put me down, put me under. But we are also conscious of his great goodness. See, you can't get conscious of his goodness until you become conscious of the fact that you're nothing. See, that's how it comes together. See, we want the goodness of God, and we want to be ascending. We want all the, but he ain't bringing up no heavy people. He ain't bringing up no heavy people. No heavy people, baby. Come here, Shanique. He ain't bringing up no heavy people. You know, God loves Shanique. God loves Shanique, y'all. God gonna help you lose a few pounds. A few pounds. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, even today, a few pounds. Lose it. Listen, we're ready to admit our own disability. We don't want to claim that we know people of disability. I don't have no disability. What are you talking about? If you don't have a disability, you don't have his ability. Isn't that what that say? You got to admit your own disability before we are ready to admit his ability. As long as I've got all my ability, as long as I have all of my abilities, I am not going to get his ability. He's going to stand and let me tap dance and do everything I want to do. Yeah, you know how we do. I'm the macaroni. Pastor said the macaroni. I said, no, they're saying no, Pastor. But then I said, okay, I'll be the macaroni. Because the macaroni ain't nothing without some hot water. Put me in the furnace. Boil me on over. Cook me till I'm done. I'll be the macaroni. Because the noodle is nothing. Got to get some hot water. It's just a stiff, old, broken up, hard, good for nothing. Nothing. You need some hot water. You need some boiling water. And you got to stay in it for a while. You got to stay in it, Cheryl. Got to stay in it for a while. You just don't drop it in there and pull it out. The box will say sometime 15 to 18 minutes. Could that possibly be 15 to 18 years? Woo! It takes a minute, y'all. Slow ball. It takes a minute. So remember, the next time somebody say you the macaroni, turn up the heat. Make me useful. We may be ready to admit our own disability, but we are not ready to admit his ability. There are many, look at that, y'all. There are many Christians who can say, I am not sufficient of thyself to take anything as of myself. Language. Many Christians got the language. Many Christians have the language, y'all. But the number is what? Very small. Who can say, my sufficiency is of God. I don't have any. I don't have nothing, y'all. That if God don't do it, if he don't breathe it, if he doesn't breathe it, if he don't breathe it. You see, it is God's own sovereignty in his choice. And the point is this. It is not the vessel, but the purpose for which the vessel has been chosen. We've been chosen to bear his image. But it is that united us as Christians. Now listen to this. It is not salvation, it's nor redemption, but it is God's power in salvation. So we can say we saved, but if God's power is not in that salvation, if God's power is not in that redemption, then we have not been united to him.
It's the power in the salvation, not me confessing, Lord Jesus, what did it say? Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Yeah, okay, I confess with my mouth, my heart's so far from it. Many say, Lord, Lord, the hearts are far from it. It is the common consciousness of all believers that they exist for a purpose and that God has saved them with a great purpose in view. It is very important to remember this. We may all be saved, and yet we are still divided from Him. We may all be redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus and yet remain. Oh, dear, I didn't know I had sent you that too. But see what a uniting power there is in everybody feeling that they are called to a purpose, that they are united by one common vision. And that's to be all He has called us to be. D, what else did I give you, baby? I don't even know at this point. Did I give you Tozer? But there's far more to life for us. We are citizens of what, y'all? High heaven. I'm a firm believer. And I know it's going to be proven to me. Paul went to the third, so there are even more heavens. I'm just believe it. I just believe it, y'all. But there's far more to life for us than coming to church, waking up on Sunday morning, making up on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning. You got to go to work. You got to do this. You got to do that. There's more to life for us. We are citizens of a high heaven. We are waiting the arrival of the Savior. Go back, D. The Master Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like His own. There's a glory in this body. Mr. Fisher, will you come over here, please? See, there's a glory that resides in this body. There's a glory that resides in this body. He's going to transform our earthly bodies. Jesus Christ, I love you. For the transformation that's taking place in our earthly bodies. The glory of heaven being put in this young man. He's making your body like His own body. He's making His body like His body. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which He is. Putting everything as it should be under the and around Him. See, we don't have to be afraid of what's going on around us. We don't have to walk in fear because He knows how to pull all this stuff together. Pastor, He knows how to pull all this stuff together. He didn't send it, but He sure allowed it. Lord, help me, Jesus. I want to say something. I'm not trying to offend you, Taba. And I'm not trying to offend you, Tony. But the Holy Spirit said to me, this is a work of hell. Bring your sweater up here, baby. Take it off and bring it. Yes. I'm trying to see who else I could strip. But I think you'd do good. You'd be my helper today. You know what He has done to Christianity? Put that around my face. He's masked us. He's masked us, y'all. Pastor Mike said we've been duped. But in 2020, He's masking us. He's veiling us from the truth. He's putting fear and not faith in us. Dee, can you go back to that part right there, please? transform our earthly body into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is able to put everything as it should be all around us, under and around us. This virus was straight from hell. We can say it was from China, but it was straight from hell. It's a diabolical plan, y'all. And the body of Christ is not ready for it. He's going to keep trying. He said what? He's going to start where? At the house. We've got to get ready. We have to start walking as he is. We can't just have the language anymore. Forget that we cannot live by the language anymore. We have to have the divine life. You're not going to cure racism or no-ism with no sign. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry to be the one to tell you, but it's not going to happen. And I know mankind is trying to find a vaccine to cure the corona. And when you get cured for that, hell gonna send something else. Because we're living in the last days. This earth has gone around the drain so much until it's almost about to drop, y'all. In my 72 years, I'm not talking about something just happening, you know, in the UK and then nowhere else, or something just happening in Africa and then nowhere else, or something just happening in the United States and nowhere. This is worldwide. This is worldwide. Open up our eyes. What's going on now is a warning and a beckoning to us as the body of Christ. He's raising up a people that he can use to usher in the kingdom. To usher in the kingdom, y'all. It's going to get worse. Because he said so. But he said, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. You should look up. D, did I give you whenever God has called his people to display his glory? I don't know if that was sparks or not. I'm about finished, y'all. This is too much, Mike. It's always too much. Listen to this. The church has been a happy hunting ground of men for what? For reputation, for position, for influence, and all such things. The flesh always does that. It takes God's glory away. It profanes God's name in order that not be so. There must be a new creation where all things are of God and all things are made new. Let us ask the Lord that. So far as we are concerned, there may be an increase of Christ in every way. Let us seek grace from every fiery furnace. In the light of the explanation that it is neither what is of Christ that is being tested in us, nor any good within ourselves, but that what is not Christ. See, when the test comes, it shows us what's not Christ. What's not Christ, and it should disappear if it's not Christ, and let it become Christ. At last, this universe will not know nothing but Christ, y'all. I'm sorry. It's eventually going to know nothing but Christ. And he's going to feel everything. That's going to be a great day. And he's going to be fully formed in us. That's a great day. That's a great day, y'all. That's a great day. Jesus, we love you. God is looking for vessels. He's looking for people that will look at him with beauty and desire and honor. D, what else do I have up there, baby? I got all messed up over here. See, that's what happened to the church. The connection got lost. Y'all know it did. The connection got lost. And then we started making up stuff. As we lost the connection, we started making up stuff. Are you convinced that he is able to provide? Didn't we do that? We did that one day. Okay, our Savior came and ordered the water pots to be filled to the brim. Then the water was made into wine, but not until the vessel was full. The miracle is not going to happen until we are what? He don't do miracles in half-filled vessels. Or one-fourth filled vessels. And first he has to empty us out before he can start pouring in. So it's a process. It is a process. God wants his children always to have what? A full heart. A full heart. A chosen vessel becomes the instrument, what, of divine wisdom, which surprises the vessel itself. So if you don't wake up surprised, come on, it surprise you. I'm surprised up here when he come up, and I come up here and he go. Now, when Mr. Surratt stood over here and laid hands on the young lady, the vessel was surprised at what was coming out of it. Oh, I know you was loose, you was pouring it for. It was coming out of me. He just opened his mouth and the vessel began to. That's what I'm talking about. Surprise the vessel itself. Sooner or later, that chosen vessel is full of one question. Why did God choose me? For his glory. He chose for one reason, for his glory. He chose you to be beautiful as Shanique is. He chose her just to be pretty. You see, it is God's own sovereignty in his choice. And the point is this, it is not the vessel, but the purpose for which the vessel has been chosen. Let's not abdicate our purpose. Am I gonna mess with Mr. Cannon over there? He's open. Okay, come on, Mr. Cannon. You're at his feet. All right. How tall are you?
Small.
Okay, let's go past the language. Let's go past the language and give me feet and inches. Let's go past the language, son, and give me feet and inches. God's trying to say something here. We're going to get too small, okay? Okay.
6'3".
He didn't call you just to be 6'3". He didn't. He didn't call you. He called you just to be, you know, flex the muscles. Push that shirt up. Push the sleeve of that shirt up. Come on. We're going to show you it all. Push both of them up. Come on now. You know how to do it. There you go. Don't try to be modest. Look at that. He's going to try to be modest today. Come on now. Go ahead. He didn't call you just to be robust and bear your muscles. He didn't call you for just that purpose. He didn't call you from Mississippi to Virginia just for you. He didn't call you to 3418 Shady Creek just for you or just for Shayla. The call had a deeper purpose. And that was to make you small. It was to put you at his feet. It was to reveal Christ in you and him crucified. It was to establish you in his glory. It was to do what he did a couple of weeks ago, take you to heaven. That was his purpose. You can have a seat. It is not the vessel, but the purpose for which the vessel has been chosen. What is it that unites us as Christians? Now, listen to this. It is not salvation, nor redemption, but it's God's power and salvation and redemption that unites us. It is the common consciousness of all believers that they exist for a purpose and that God has saved them in a great with a great purpose in view. And that great purpose in view was a divine life. A supernatural living. I'm a supernatural woman. That's what I am. I'm a supernatural woman. I'll never be natural again. Glory to God. So you got to know what your purpose is. Why God saved us. All believers that exist for a purpose. And that God has saved them with a great purpose in view. This is a very important thing to remember. We may all be saved and yet may be all divided. Divided from Christ. Divided from that purpose. Divided from that divine living. I don't care how much language we have. I don't care how many scriptures we can quote. We may all be redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus and yet remain just individual unit. Hold it right there, D. You can leave it back. You can take it back. We can't be of our own self. We need one another. We cannot be individual units. We cannot. Not and become all that God wants us to be. We represent the body. The body has a head, shoulders, arms, legs, feet, toes, eyebrows. I remember one time Tina trying to do what her big sister was doing. Shell used to arch her eyebrows. I come home from work one day. She's younger than Cammie. She's a little bit younger than Cammie. And she run up to me and I go, what happened to your eyebrows? She cut them all off. And her face looked so strange. Even eyebrows. I'm saying that to say what he put on us. He knew what he was doing. And it all has a purpose. It all comes together and is united for what he has in mind for each one of us individually and collectively. But see what a uniting power there is in everybody feeling they are all called to a purpose. We know why we're here, PWM, and that we're united by our common vision here to live a divine life. That's our goal here, PWM, to live an ascended life, to visit the heavenlies, to not be residents of this earth any longer. To be here, but to be there. We can be here. Miss D, is that it, baby? Oh, I got more. Did I do that one? For God, go back. For God who said, let brilliant light shine out of the darkness, is the one who has cascaded his light. Did anybody get that but me? See, I don't live in darkness. I don't live in the... And see, there's darkness in the... Lord, this world is so dark. Can you... What's going on in this world, Shirley? It's so dark. It is so dark. What's going on in this world now is so dark. But we as light. He didn't say just brilliant light shine. Brilliant light. Shine out of darkness. That's what he's calling us in this divine life for this season, for this time that we're in, y'all. See, we've got to be the help. See, we've got to be the way out. We've got to be the road, the highway into heaven for what's going on in this season in our lives. I don't know how many more years I've got here. At least 40. You know, but my light's got to be brighter. It's got to get brighter up. It's got to be brighter. Let brilliant light shine out of darkness is the one who has cascaded what? That same light, because he's the brilliant light. He's the brilliant light, and he has cascaded it all around us and into us
the brilliant drawing light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. As we gaze. Now, what I said earlier, gaze into his face. Seek his face. Seek his face. If something does not fascinate us, we can take it or leave it. And most of us leave it. We're not really excited about, we just got the language of it. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. Whew. If it doesn't fascinate us, we can take it or leave it. And we can look into, if we look into his face, I think we're going to be fascinated. Pastor, I'm waiting. I'm believing him. Just believing it. Anything else, Miss D? That's it? In the kingdom of God, there's a law of fascination, the law of irresistible charm. Have you ever been charmed by the Lord? Rainey, I know Rob know how to charm you, don't he? But there's a divine charmer. There's a divine charmer, Valisa. I know you got that charm right there, but there's a divine charmer. A divine, oh, you're a charmer, but there's a divine charmer. You're talking about being fascinated. In the kingdom of God, there's a law of fascination, the law of irresistible charm. Christians who do not know the law will never be anything but what? Can you imagine being half married Christian? Wait. All their lives, they will always be in a rut. Listen, can you imagine being half married? Did you half married or whole married? See, go back to that one. I won't do that one again. Go back to, yeah. In the kingdom of God, there's a law of fascination. Irresistible. Mr. James, the lover. You don't have to come. You can sit. The Prince of Connecticut. when he sees Rocky, he goes, "Hello, beautiful. Oh, hello, gorgeous. Hello, gorgeous. Yeah." That irresistible charm. How many years? 28 years of irresistible charm. Y'all, Toza wrote this. I didn't. Y'all can blame Toza for this one. Irresistible charm. But you know what? That should be Christ in our lives. Laying all jokes aside. Come on now. Irresistible. And I love him more than I love life itself. Because there's no need in me living if I don't have him. And I mean that with every part of my of who I am. Christians who do not know the law will never be anything but half Christians all their lives. They'll always be in a rut. And the whole body of Christ is where? In a rut. They're actually in a rut. They can't get out. They don't have the charmer. They got language. They have lots of language. But they don't have that fascination. They just want to say, I belong to XYZ church. They're fascinated about where they go. They're fascinated about the name of the organization that they're in. They're fascinated about, but yet they're not fascinated with the one that caused John to fall on his face. Our Lord says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Take my yoke upon you and learn of
Learn. We've been at PW and the University of the Holy Spirit. We are enrolled in the University of the Holy Spirit here, learning of the Lord, learning from him, learning not from Pastor Gary Garner, but learning from the Lord as the Holy Spirit downloads into him and he brings, like John from the Isle of Patmos, to us. You know, John was just a man like Pastor is. We can get quiet. But God chose him. God chose John to be the one out of the 12 apostles. He chose him to reveal Christ. To reveal revelation. The revelation is just the unveiling of Christ. He chose John to unveil who he is. Not who he was, but who he is. They knew who he was, but they hadn't captured who he is. So the man of God here that God has placed in this house has been called to unveil to us who Christ is. Me and my 15 Bibles. Color-coded. I didn't tow up, y'all. And I don't mean just tow it up, Chris. I'm talking about reading them. Taught Sunday school for about 18 years. So, them Bibles was used. Back fall all out and pages missing. Go buy another one, B. Every time a new version, a new translation came out, here I go. And put some money in buying Bibles, y'all. And still, the revelation hadn't come. He hadn't been unveiled to me. I had language. And I was teaching the children language. Thou should not steal. And that's why Marvin said, thou should kill thy mother and father, I guess. I was trying to give him some language. He couldn't get thou should not steal. So I just say, well, when you get up and say thou should not kill. He gets up there. He's a little bit older than Kaylee. And he gets up there and say, thou shalt kill thy mother and father. So I gave kids language for a long time. I pray some of it, though, Jesus. I pray that the seed of some of it became revelation. And that somewhere along the line, like me, they became hungry and thirsty for something that was more. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That was Tozer. That was Mr. Tozer. So listen at this. Pastor has told us this morning. So if you're serious about living this new revelation life in Christ, do what? Act like it. Let your vocabulary change. I'm not going to say let your language. Let your vocabulary change. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me with the power and the authority of my divine life, the divine life on the inside of me. See, we've got to add the divine life, the divine power, the divine authority, because we can't do nothing by ourselves. Pursue the things over which Christ resides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorb with the things, what, right in front of you. We can't be looking at what's going on in here on Sunday. Come on, we can't look at what's been in the news. You have to turn it off. My God, I can't even find out what the weather is because I can't turn the news on anymore because it sickens me. It makes me nauseous. I'm serious. It did something to me this week. I wanted, like, Lord, I mean, who do I write to say, stop it? God have mercy. And people are just eating it up. Drinking it. Like good wine. Not Stella Rose Pastor. Good wine. I'm telling on us. Where were we, D? Eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of them. Look up and be alert. What is going on around? Where?
You got to be where Christ at. Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father. Isn't that where Christ is? So we got to be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. We can't be concerned with what's going on around here, because that stuff will take you under. That thing make you take a gun to your head and shoot your own self. It's crazy.
D, did I not is? D, what is it? What was before it?
Oh, see, that's what I get for cutting up. That's where the action is. See things from where? We got to see the corona from where? We got to see all the everything that's going on in the streets from his perspective. Listen at this. Your old life is what? And your new life, which is what? I'm living a life. That's my real life. The Doo-Bop sisters. Woo! Your new life, which is your real life. Even though what? I'm trying to tell you now. I'm here, but I'm. It's invisible. They would say, I saw you on stream. And I said, child, that won't me. That was an imposter. The real me. Will the real Geraldine go up? Whoa. Which is your new life. Even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ and God. We have to know where we sit and where we are. And who we are and who we're with. All the time, 24/7, every second of every minute, every hour of every day, every week, every month, every year. We cannot forget this. This cannot be a Sunday morning experience. This is a lay me down to sleep experience. This is a wake me up in the morning experience. This is a walk me to the shower experience. This is a get me in the car experience. This is a go into my workplace and experience. He is my life. He, Jesus Christ, is my life. Jesus Christ is my life. When Christ, what? Your real life, and you remember it, shows up again on this earth, you will show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with the obscurity like Christ. We ain't going around trying to tell everybody who we are. I don't have to get no banner. Peter, I'm not going to put a banner out there. We're the ascended people. We're the resurrected ones. We're not going to get no business cards. Come on, y'all. Mike, you want to finish this? In effect, he says, come to me and be fascinated by me. Concentrate upon me. Surrender to me and yield so completely to me that you can give all to me. He wants it all, and that's the divine life. We're changing from language to living. We're changing from saying to knowing. We're changing from hoping to believing. We're changed, y'all. We're changed and constantly being changed into his image. Constantly, constantly. D, is that it, baby? Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you now. Pastor, who do I give this to? Remember, he's called us to a divine life. The language may sound good, but the living, the reality is so much better. So much power, so much authority in it. And it's what the world is waiting on. It's waiting for the awakening, the kingdom of God. Divine life is entering into the kingdom where God has dominion and rule and government. And we trust him. Above everything else. Above everything else, we trust him with our lives, our whole lives. Our whole lives are in his hand. And he's able to keep us and to present us faultless. He's able to keep us, y'all, right here in the midst of what's going on. Right in the midst, Pastor, he's able to keep it. The word said so. That's not just language to me. He's able to keep me. He's able to keep us. Right here. Right in this corona-torn world, he's able to keep us.
He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. Now, do we walk in his ability and lose and let our disability, our doubts and unbelief change into his ability? I praise God for you guys. I love you so much. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share Christ with you. And I don't mean this talking part here. I'm talking about with that Rob praying and that Rainey prophesying. And Cheryl with her beautiful self sitting over there. I'm so glad to see her come in, man. I just talked Rainey. Say, Rainey, you talk to her, she coming. She got to stay close. She's got to stay close. She got to stay close. She got to close. I hope. Okay, Pastor. I'm not going to pour water on you. I'll top it up. I'm going to give this to you, but I need this. May I, Pastor? Cheryl. Minister to Cheryl. May I? Just want to hug her.
There's such a great lifting in the house. We're continually, as we gather together, being elevated in the spirit of the living God. The truth is so high and so rich and so pure. And I thank God for him revealing and unfolding more and more each time we come into, we have these encounters with him. This reminds me of back, I always said that when I had, when the Lord gave to me about, I'm giving you the authority to define a thing. That's that new language that he's speaking of, is that he doesn't want us to pull any longer, draw from Webster and from the things that were familiar to us, but he wants to now give us the language and the understanding of heaven. It's a higher reality. It's a higher truth. I remember one Sunday when it was hit here, we're doing worship, and I shared with you all that there was this experience where I said I felt like I was in two places. And the Lord said, the rhythm. I was playing in one rhythm, but then there was a slower rhythm. And while I was sitting there, all of a sudden, I heard the Lord says, you all have something that you call real time. But this is real time. I was functioning in one timing, but there was a higher and another reality that God was identifying. He's saying that this is the real time. And so just like I think Cheryl shared not too long ago in a Bible study, it's that experience of being like two people. We feel like we're two people. It's that being here in the present, Pastor Jerry, but being in a higher realm. And this is becoming more of the reality to us. It's not just something. And like you say, you can't go out necessarily and just tell everybody and boast because they wouldn't understand it. But the wonderful thing about it is that we're having the experience, and it's becoming more and more the life where we live. It's not just an occasional here and now experience, but we're entering and we are living in that reality of heaven every day. I shared with the top, and I was so glad that you said it to Tony. I said, I feel like even though you're encountering difficult or challenging times on your job, that God, I believe that she's there for a specific time, for such a time as this. And well, part of it was that, you know, we talk about healings and cures and things. And I said, I think you're going to have a significant role or function in with research and helping define or find cures for certain things. But then the Lord reminded me, he says, it's not just going to be a man-made cure, but it's going to have more to do with the words that she speaks. The cure is going to be in the life of the words that she speaks, not something that she conjures. It's going to be that new language. It's going to be those words that come from straight from heaven that's going to speak life, and it's going to be the cure. And this is going to be, and I don't think it's just for her. Right. I think it's for us. We hold the key to the healing, to the cures, to the revelation, and God is changing our language. He's changing our appetite. And so when we speak, it's no longer going to be us speaking, but it's going to be the life of the Spirit. It's going to be just what people need, particularly as we live and we face these days and these challenges and social injustice and all the things. But the cure and the life and everything that the world's been is going to come up out. So this is why we sit in these sessions. This is why God is doing what he's doing. This is why we're having these experiences. This is why we're encountering God, because it's becoming the truth and the reality. We're seeing and experiencing it from God's perspective. So, Father God, we thank you today. Oh, God, for continually pouring into us the reality of who you are, oh, God. We thank you today for this wonderful message, oh, God, that came straight from heaven, oh, God, that the divine life is no longer in just quoting words, even though they're biblical and scriptural words, oh, God. But if we have the words without the Spirit, oh, God, all it is dead letter, oh, God. And so we thank you today for bringing us into a place, changing our language into a heavenly language, oh, God, giving us, oh, God, the definitions and the revelation, oh, God, of what it is. You're allowing us to define a thing, no longer leaning on the church's understanding or doctrines, oh, God, but to speak words that will bring forth life. We thank you for this time, oh, God, for your fellowship, for your faithfulness, for your love towards us, oh, God. Continue to order our footsteps, oh, God. Continue to let us learn how to lean and depend on you. Continue to give us the faith lens of God, the ability to see, oh, God, a thing before we see the real, before we see it in the manifestation, oh, God, because faith is a lens. We thank you, oh, God, for this time, for this people, for the faithfulness, God, as you continue to draw us and cause us to be connected, oh, God. We thank you for the man of God, oh, God, who has faithfully and diligently, oh, God, given up all that he could have possessed in the natural, oh, God, to have you, oh, God. We thank you for giving him the heart for the people, oh, God, and not relinquishing or pulling back, oh, God, but being steadfast and unmovable, oh, God. We bless you and we thank you for this time today, oh, God. We thank you for what you're doing and what you'll continue to do, oh, God. You're such a wonderful and mighty and awesome God, and we submit and we surrender. Teach us and continue to teach us his ways and allow us to see your face, oh, God. Thank you for opening up that, oh, God, that everything that we come to experience, oh, God, it is you drawing us, oh, God. So we yield to you. We submit to your spirit. We submit to the leadership of this house. And we give you glory and honor, and we bless your name, oh, God. We love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.